On Monday, two former Baltimore police detectives were found guilty on charges of racketeering, robbery, and fraud. It was the conclusion of a trial that captivated the city of Baltimore and revealed the extraordinary extent of the corruption at play. Detectives Daniel Hersel and Marcus Taylor were part of the Elite Gun Trace Task Force, and an investigation into the unit found its members were robbing drug dealers of hundreds of thousands of dollars, planting evidence, stealing and selling back illegal drugs, and collecting overtime, among other crimes. Six other members previously pleaded guilty in the case. Four testified against the two detectives in this case. Baltimore is, of course, currently under a consent decree by the Justice Department after the death of Freddie Gray, who died from injuries while in police custody in 2015. Now that this dramatic trial of police officers has concluded, how can the community start to trust its police again? Dr. Lawrence Brown is with me today on The Takeaway. He's the associate professor in the School of Community Health and Policy at Morgan State University. Dr. Brown, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us briefly, what's been the reaction in the city of Baltimore to this verdict?
Well, you called it a dramatic trial. I would say it was traumatic for many people living in disinvested redline black communities. There's been a series of revelations that I think have revealed the extent of these abuses and harms to these communities. But people living in poor black communities have experienced these traumatic events for years. And so I think, you know, there's the wounding that has taken place, cumulative wounding. And, you know, it's just now coming out. And I think people are now believing. But imagine for years, people having all kinds of things happening to them like this and not being heard.
Well, and I think, and I wonder if that's because, I mean, I grew up in a very, you know, poor community in New York City, black and brown community largely. And I'm wondering if it's because those folks aren't believed because of who they are, because it's police on dealing with people who are, you know, doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. What's the root of that?
Well, I think there's the presumption that these are people that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. We learned in this trial, officers were just jumping out on unsuspecting people who they didn't arrest, that weren't convicted of a crime. They were in what is deemed legally as a high crime area oftentimes. And so, you know, the case, the Supreme Court case, Illinois versus Wardlow, allows police to police differentially in these communities. So I think when you have that sort of legal context, and then it's already an area where people are marginalized, that's where you have this combination and this foundation for people to experience these type of abuses by police and not be believed.
Now, you said there was a Supreme Court decision that allowed for differential policing. Can you briefly tell us what that is for those who may not know it?
Absolutely. So it's the Supreme Court decision, Illinois versus Wardlow, I should say, which was passed in 2000 or handed down by the Supreme Court then. And so actually that's the case where in the case of Freddie Gray, who ran on site, had he run in a different community in Baltimore, like Roland Park, he wouldn't have been arrested because running on site in a low crime community is not an arrestable offense. It's not a justifiable cause. And so, you know, this Supreme Court case, which I think most people know little about, it sort of allows hyper policing in hyper segregated communities. And Baltimore is a very hyper segregated city.
So I'm curious about Baltimore, as we mentioned in the introduction, is currently under a Justice Department consent decree that helped usher in some new requirements. Do you feel like this verdict could mark a reset for relations between the community and the Baltimore police, or are we just getting started in terms of tensions?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I think what we're seeing from the mayor is sort of a glossing over of these abuses, even though these abuses have really been coming out for the past 3 years. We had a Baltimore Sun article in September 2014 called Undue Force, where reporter Mark Puente outlined a whole litany of excessive force. Then we had the August 2016 DOJ report that you referenced earlier, 164 pages, where the DOJ said that there's a pattern and practice of unconstitutional policing, racist policing, essentially, in the police department here in Baltimore. You know, now we have these gun trace force trial where we're seeing these officers were increasing crime in Baltimore. They were a part of increasing the crime rate in our city. So I think, you know, are coming to terms with the pervasive systemic criminality of this police department, there won't be a reset. And already we're seeing the mayor say, well, that was in the past. You know, she's hired a new police commissioner. And so I think, you know, there's a desire in the political establishment to move on without actually reckoning with what has actually transpired and what's been revealed.
We're talking about Baltimore's police corruption trial here on The Takeaway. I'm wondering if this is, you know, the mayor and the police commissioner, doctor, have said that this was the work of a few rogue police officers. I'm going to assume that you don't agree with that, but do you?
Well, the Department of Justice didn't agree with it. 164 pages saying, look, this department is engaging in pervasive, unconstitutional policing. You know, there's been multiple reports. In fact, you know, we had a police officer killed a day before he was supposed to testify in this trial. And his murder is still unsolved. And that was in November of last year. And there's no clamor. You know, there's no, you know, desire to really go and find his killer. And just yesterday, last night after the trial, Detective Herschel's brother says that his brother knows what happened to Sean Suter and that the Baltimore Police Department know. So I think, you know, we're not even digging into the full extent of what really happened. I think there's a desire to move on and move away from the trial instead of holding the police department accountable. And I think that's going to be the tragedy if people aren't following up to see what really happened.
Dr. Brown, thank you for your thoughts today on this very important issue. Dr. Lawrence Brown is an associate professor in the School of Community Health and Policy at Morgan State University.
Thank you.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.